This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, good morning, Nigeria Info. 7 minutes past eight. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. The Morning Crossfire conversation begins. My guest is with me via telephone, former Assistant Inspector General of Police, Felix Ogbahudu. Many of you would already know that name. Well, today we're looking at the insecurity, or you want to say security situation in the country. And the major question we're asking is this: what could be responsible for the recent increase in kidnapping and other security threats that we are seeing across the country? That's the focus of our conversation. You can get on social media and drop your comments, Nigeria Info PH on Facebook and on Twitter. We'll go over now to our guest. Hello, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very fine. Thank you, Mr. Ogbahudu. Thank you for making our time to be with us on the program this morning.
My pleasure.
Right, so let's cut to it and get straight to the business of the day. Insecurity no longer a hidden secret. It's, I think, okay, we want to say an open secret that the country is suffering from some level of insecurity, judging by the recent cases of kidnappings that we've been having from here in Rivers State to Kaduna, Kano, Sokoto, Kwara, you name it. We've had people being kidnapped. Most recently, we had an Anglican bishop in Kwara State, himself, his wife and driver. That's the latest. Before that one, we heard that of the Methodist prelate who was also kidnapped, and then some ransom of about 100 million paid. Before that time, we've had the Kaduna Abuja Highway bandits attack that happened just on Monday, but then it was a failed attack. But we've had attacks on that particular highway a couple of times. It goes on and on. Here in Rivers State, we had something that happened at the Emoha Emoha, Bunima axis of the state. We have those problems. For you, the question has been coming from Nigerians, but for you, we would like to ask, from a professional perspective, what could be responsible for the increase that we are currently seeing in kidnapping and other forms of insecurity in the country?
Thank you very much for having me this morning. The factors responsible for present state of insecurity are not far-fetched, and they are known to all of us. Let's start with the issue of unemployment, poverty, frustration, homelessness, you know, the unemployment, joblessness I'm talking about. And they've always said the idle man is devil's workshop. And because our youths have gotten to a level, not just youths alone, some other fine votes, they've gotten to a level whereby they just tell us, go do it, let's go commit these crimes. If we succeed, fine. If we get killed, get arrested, and so be it. And that's why they keep on asking for humongous sums of money as ransom. Now, taking it further, you can imagine our universities have been shut down from the most of public university. Months. You can imagine the level of frustration. Then the other dimension is that we have failed, like I've always said repeatedly, Nigeria as a nation has failed to prioritize security. Then the manpower of the security agencies is grossly inadequate. For the police, for instance, the United Nations prescribed ratio is one officer to take care of 400 people. But what we have today in the police, in terms of police to the population of Nigeria, is grossly inadequate. It's a far cry from the United Nations prescription. I've always said, look, the only way to get out of this menace, this lingering security challenge we're having, is to reinforce the security agencies in terms of manpower. Or to have overwhelming security presence nationwide, we are not likely to get out of these challenges. We are not. The men who have enough security services are not enough. They are grossly, grossly inadequate.
Mm.
And it's not just increasing the numbers, their numbers. They need to be empowered because they cannot confront the challenges they are bearing. They need to be empowered, given the wherewithal, to confront these criminals frontally. There was one other thing I suggested in a lecture I gave not too long ago. I said, look, we're going to a stage where we have to make unlawful possession of illegal firearms, prohibited firearms, a capital offense. But before we pass such a legislation at the National Assembly, let us give 6 months period and sensitize Nigerians through all the media of communication, social media, town criers, on radio, on television, in churches, in mosques, on the streets, and all of that, everywhere, town meetings, that if you're having an illegal firearm, surrender it from now to social time, like I said, 6 months time frame. Direct everybody having such a firearm where to surrender it, to submit it to. After that mopping up exercise that I said will last for 6 months, the law comes to place. That is, unlawful possession of prohibited firearms, illegal firearms, should be a capital offense. What does that mean? Capital offense means if you are caught with it, you get killed. And it's going to be made a strict liability offense. There'll be nothing like you gave me the gun to hold for me. No. If you are caught with a gun, you're irresponsible.
How do you...
Let us take a cue from... Let me round up quickly. Let us take a cue from Saudi Arabia and Malaysia on how they've been tackling trafficking drugs. The Malaysian visa, which you get here in Nigeria, on the visa is written there, drug trafficking is a capital offense. Stand there for everybody to say no. In Saudi Arabia, drug trafficking, you get beheaded. And that goes a very long way to deter people. And the last one before you come in again is, in Nigeria, the absence of deterrence in a good number of our laws fuels impunity. So too many idle hands went into crime, nothing to survive on. So that's it. With grossly inadequate manpower for security agencies and no empowerment, no motivation, all of that.
All right. Speaking on the low manpower or poor manpower, inadequate manpower, however I want to put it. Many have said that there is the problem of moral decadence and people no longer value what is right and what is wrong, maybe because we do not have a reward and punishment system effective. But now my question would be, amongst these people whom many have seen as being morally inadequate, are the ones from where the police would be recruited. We're going to recruit police officers. If we want to increase the manpower of the police, it's going to also come from this same society. As much as we have these problems, it now brings us to ask, manpower for the police. How does this process work out? Because recently we've also had insecurity coming from police officers who also contribute to the problem. Just a while ago, recently many students have been arrested, many people have been harassed. One we are currently tackling here in River State was a popular media influencer who was held by some police officers, and about 400,000 naira was said to have was taken from him. And now that investigation is ongoing on that particular matter. And many other activities of such also contributing to the insecurity. So how do we tackle that? We do not have enough manpower, but then from the little we have, we're already having problems where some of the security operatives are making it even more difficult for the people to trust them and want to work with them.
The blame lies squarely on the shoulders of the government. Let me give you an example. The Nigeria Police Force enlisted in 1976. That's 46 years ago had everything in place to empower the operatives. We even had maintenance workshops in every command while police vehicles were serviced, maintained. And they had shop stores filled of vehicle spare parts. They also had fuel dumps, police fuel dumps, where police vehicles are driving there, they fill your tank and go ahead. And if you are driving from state A to state B or to state D, as you leave one state from a capital to another one, you stop over there, go to the state there, fuel dump, they fill your tank, you merely sign and you carry on. Then, of course, in those days, those that were involved in criminal investigations, officers were given air tickets or flight or whatever they were going to. The junior officers went by road because they had roadworthy vehicles. All of these provided for by the government. Then everybody, irrespective of your rank, was paid what we call a digital allowance on a per day. So that as we are going, we will tell you, you have paid all of this, but don't get compromised when you get there. But as I, today, as I'm talking to you now, if you go to report any criminal matter to any police station now, it is the complainant who bankrolls everything. The patrol vehicles, it is the police officers who fill those tanks with their own money from the little salary they earn, which is not a living wage. And if I found anywhere, you are on your own. That is why when you go to the police with any complaint, they'll give you calls of mongrel figures for you. They'll give us $250. So what do you mean? Is it 250 or 250 cover? 250,000. So we're talking about millions because of the failure of government to provide all of these things. Some years back, Fulani headman struck somewhere in the Kipi State. The victims who escaped ran to the police station. They got there. They said, please don't come and help us. Come and save us. He said, I look at the police patrol vehicle there. There's no fuel inside. How do you expect somebody in that state of insecurity, in state of mind, to start giving you money to go and buy petrol? So that is the problem.
So the government's completely to blame for how perhaps some police officers are acting.
The government has abstained from its responsibility. You know, it's just like a pregnant woman delivers a child. The child has been delivered, you must breastfeed the child. And the child is growing. You owe that child duty of feeding him or her. Medical basis, four, six, of school age, pay the school fees, take him or her to school and bring him or her back. And make sure she's protected. And that's like in the north here, and in Abuja, and then I love many here anymore. You used to have almajiris all over. When parents abandon their children, people that have powers to produce children, but they lack the capacity, the wherewithal to take care of them. What is that of such children? That's what happened to the security years that I'm talking to you now. You don't go recruited, you don't empower them to perform. The salary are paid nothing. The operational vehicles are not there. A lot of the police vehicles you see, apart from the ones that were donated by public spirited Nigerian philanthropists, a good number of those police vehicles are not roadworthy. And the police officer stopped and they always say, why a vehicle per class? Where's the insurance? Where is that? Where's the roadworthiness? When your roadworthiness is not, your vehicle is not roadworthy. You are morally incapacitated to ask the money for such particulars. So that is why, look, the government has to sit up. We're just talking about total security now. I don't know what the right situation, the past situation is in Topak, but nationwide darkness everywhere. So all of this failure battle. And we see, we're seeing a nation where some people get paid so much, millions, for doing next to nothing. And how many days they will take the National Assembly for the terms I'm talking about? How many times do they sit? If one person dies, they were adjourned. If it's the regional police corrupts and dies today, will police officers to say we are not going to work because their boss has them? No. So these are the mistakes we are making. Some people get paid so much for doing like nothing. Others are paid so little for doing so much. Do you know the number of security agents that have died in the line of service? How many have died? Who cares about their families that they left behind? That's how I've said security must be prioritized. The way everybody aspires to go to the National Assembly, for instance, you are a governor and you finish, you want to go to the National Assembly. You are this, you want to go there. I mean, it's crazy. Or to prioritize security, take it or leave it, take it or leave it. Even the rot I'm talking about in the security engineer, the bad eggs within. It's all of this. If you had a well-motivated, maintained, empowered security outfit all over, and the recruitment process is very, very, very straightforward, honest, and clear, you recruit the very best of hands. People that are morally sound. People that are upright. People that will preach and enforce the laws of the fear of God. People that will not be corrupt. You know, so that's it.
Mm.
Just as their politicians lose their own personal interest to persist that of the national interest.
Okay.
So that's aware.
All right, you've highlighted a lot of the problems and some of the issues we're facing and why you think, or why the police and security operatives currently are handicapped. We want to go on a short commercial, but then the question I would like to ask you when we return would be, what next for the people who are supposed to be protected, who are supposed to have security? Now that we have these problems, should we complain about them and continue to allow what happens, or is there a way we can go around it to ensure that we provide security for the average Nigerian? That's something we'd like you to react to in the next 2 minutes when we return after this commercial. So please, you just stay on the line for us. We'll be right back. The Morning Crossfire continues. My guest here, former AIG Felix Okpaudu. And also, we'll be talking about how you were able to handle the Okija situation, perhaps some experience that we could draw from there to tackle the problem of kidnapping and ritual killings in the country. We'll be right back. Stay on the line.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Harcourt.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts.
Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
The Morning Crossfire. Our conversation continues. My name is Ifeemi Andrew. My guest, former AIG Felix Okpaudu, is still on the line. Hello, sir. Sadly, we lost that call. We'll try to establish contact with him again and continue with the conversation. But in the meantime, you can send us WhatsApp messages on 0809-030-6416. You can also drop your conversation, your comments on social media, Nigeria Info PH, okay, on WhatsApp and on Facebook. We'll be opening the phone lines in just a minute. But before we do that, let's take some of your messages on WhatsApp. right, we'll take some messages now on Facebook. Precious Owunda says, ask your government. Okay, I'm pretty sure you meant our government. Chukuyem Isabo says, bad government, Tessi. While Bikeze says, it's the end time. Ahmed Musa also says, bad government, at the end time. Interested. All right, so we have our guest back with, on the line with us. Hello, sir. Thank you for your patience and staying to on the line. Good morning. Welcome back. All right, so before the break, we said we're going to ask you and find out your opinion on what should Nigerians now expect. How should we tackle this? Whether we like it or not, whether there is government failure or not, we have a problem on our hands. People are dying. People are scared. People need answers. They need a solution. In as much as we have some of these issues you've listed as hindrances to the progress we should be making in our security sector, regardless, we need something to be done. So, what should be the faith of Nigerians after all of the things you've highlighted, despite this insecurity that we are facing?
Well, let me start with the issue of kidnapping talked about.
Mm.
The new governor in Anambra State,
yes,
has picked up from where Peter B. left when he was governor. And there was a law he put in place. If you were arrested for kidnapping, or a kidnap victim was traced to your house, to your property, that structure will be demolished. Professor Soludo just supervised the demolition of one house just last week in Anambra State.
Yes.
And that's what we're talking about, deterrence. And I've always said, in that sense of deterrence, impunity is foiled. Once that is done, you find that nobody wants to kidnap and take the victim to his or her house, because that's the fate they're going to face. That's what lies ahead for you. Then we need a kind of public sensitization, Nigerians, the youth especially, that crime does not pay. Crime doesn't pay. Beyond that, we also need to empower the youth with some jobs, something to do to earn some income. We are not talking about white-collar jobs, because government cannot provide all of that for everybody.
Mm.
And to a large extent, some states, some philanthropists, where many Nigerians have had programs where youth empowerment is also prioritized. They train them, give them startup packs and all of that, give them some funds to expand their business and all of that, you know, get them trained in a particular field, you know. So with that, they have something to fall back on, something to be doing to give them some income to make ends meet. To a large extent, that will also checkmate the rising increase of crime recognition we're talking about, you know.
Something would like you to also highlight would be in your time. Everybody know you for putting, you know, a stop to and discovering, arresting, destroying the dreaded Okija Shrine at the time in Anambra State. Policing in your time and how you were able to achieve the feats you did and what we have now. How much difference, even if you've highlighted some things in the system generally, but now when you look at dedication to work, to serve, how much difference do you see?
The Okija issue you talked about, which I dismantled, captured in a number when I was commissioned police there, that was something almost every Anambrian was opposed to. That was how we achieved the success we achieved when I was there. Because you'll find a son reporting the father to Okija Shrine, a brother reporting a brother to Okija Shrine, a child reporting the uncle to Okija Shrine for some minor, mundane, terrible, incredible things. You know, So that was where we were able to dismantle Okija. So that is the kind of mindset you need to give to all Nigerians now. And if it means having to look into the, you know, need to input, to impute in a school curriculum, security education at all levels, starting from primary school, secondary school, or even up to tertiary level, security education, that will also include security tips. It will go a very long way. You recall NTA keeps the capital reading at this and by some time. I don't want to say all on it now. When you see something, say something. And I also added, I've always added, when you hear something, to say something. But in the case of hearing, it has to be verified before any action can be taken. So we all need to make all Nigerians to be security conscious. Tell them what they need to do, how it can be done, and what they must not do. And of course, there must be no compromise, no sentiment. Oh, that guy is my son. That guy is my uncle. That guy is my cousin. He's my nephew. No. If you commit an offense, you should answer for the offense.
All right, sir.
You should face the law, the wrath of the law. No sentiments at all. Then again, equality before the law, not inequality before the law. And lastly, there's no peace at which our criminal matters are handled in courts. Takes too long. So I want to recommend, I want to suggest that all matters relating to kidnapping, attacks like this attack we had in the Democratic College Church in Owo, if you arrest those criminals, who do you perpetrate that? Their trials don't last for more than 2-3 weeks. 2-3 weeks maximum. And that again will also go to serve as deterrent. If you extend that again to the corruption actors, you recall a former SG of Secretary of Government of this federation was arrested and arraigned. What did he do? He converted funds meant for upkeep of IDP camps in his state. And he said, well, I awarded a contract for grass cutting, 2.something billion. What has become of that case till this moment? What has become the case of criminal charges against even some people in the Senate? You know? So it's so sad. And lastly, as the lawyer, too, there's a section of our constitution we need to amend. There's a section that talks about presumption of innocence until proven guilty. Presumption of innocence. I want to add, you cannot be presumed innocent when you are caught red-handed in the act. Even some cases, you have video clips and all that. Caught red-handed in the act. You are still presumed that kind of person innocent? I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy.
All right.
So these are the things we're talking about. Yes.
All right, so thank you.
Talking about.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you very much. But we'll have to let you have the rest of your time to yourself and continue with your very busy schedule. So thank you once again for making that time to be with us.
I just hope our government will listen. Those hearing this will listen and do something.
We hope so too. Thank you very much for your time.
All right then.
That's former AIG Felix Okpaudu. And, well, you've heard. What is your own thought? What is your own opinion? We have the post up on social media, taking some of your comments already on Facebook. But now we'll go to the phone lines and hear what your thoughts are on this. What could be the reason why we have increasing level of insecurity in various parts of the country? You already can tell with the various kidnapping stories we've been having, not to mention the killings that we've also been witnessing. So open the phone lines now. Remember, name, location, and you go straight to the point. You have less than 1 minute to make your point. Nigeria Info, good morning.
Yeah, Andrew, good morning.
You're welcome. Go on.
Yeah, my name is AJ. I'm calling you from Port Harcourt. Andrew, I listened to your guest keenly, and it's one respected man here, was even commissioner of police here in River State. But the area I talked about, manpower shortage, is the area I want to disagree with him. You have seen that anybody that has 200,000 buy one small Camry, they now have police escort. go to all the banks, you see, you even think you're entering police barracks. IOCs, that one even worse. I know that advanced countries, Israel, some other countries, when they have security challenge, they even recall some of their, what they call reserve. Now, how come they cannot recall some of these people? Because the place is like barracks. You have some having like 100, 50 like that. What do you need there? So I think it's a matter of priority. What does the government want to achieve? Go to LNG Bonny, you see army, police, navy everywhere, but nobody is guiding the Bonny people, Bile people, Kula people. So it's just a matter of power, not because of a shortage of manpower, because you have them concentrated in areas where they are not even needed, while others are suffering. That's my own take. Thank you very much.
All right, JJ, thank you. 0817923-0003, 0817923-0007. Good morning, Nigeria Info.
Hello, you can.
Good morning.
Yeah, my name is GISG.
Go on.
I'm calling you from Alakaya.
All right.
I want to also agree with your guest in the studio on the aspect he talked about, that the police is not getting the right thing, or they are not being funded very well. And he's exonerating and telling us that that is the reason why police is not doing their job. Let me ask you something. Is this not an irony that a taxpayer will be killed just because of his money that he has made, that the police will perpetrate such an evil act to kill a citizen, a taxpayer, and at the end of the day will go and protect the politician who is in the government, who is the person that has refused to pay you the salary, that has refused to clear your car, that has refused to buy a uniform? Is that not an irony? A taxpayer who is paying your salary, and somebody who has refused to pay you and doing very well, you are being victimized, and at the end of the day, you're protecting him. So what I'm saying is this. Please, when some people come on air, we have said some certain things he has said. But when it comes to that, the last time I checked, the government has never done anything to the public. The government before now has failed. That shouldn't be recommended, or that shouldn't be said in any way. We have agreed on that. Even the masses are complaining every day. So the issue is now, what did the police do to the citizens for them to be protected? Because not every day you go out on the road, you begin to hear some silly things, molestations, bribery. Go to the road. If you're going towards the MOA area, go and see. Their hands are open 24 hours. What we're saying is, how can you be able to help these masses on this aspect? Because government has failed. We can't run to the judiciary. We can't run to the government. You that is protecting our life, you are not killing us.
We can get your point on that one. I think we'll come back to that just a minute.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
This is Akuk from Apokuchi.
All right, go on.
So, if you can see, the problem we are having in security in Nigeria is that police, they are working, but the problem is that the government is not taking care of them properly, because most of them lost their life on active service. So after losing their life, they cannot take care of their family. They cannot pay them all their duties. That's you see why police always withdraw. You see all these police army, they always withdraw in their active service. So they don't like to act, because when they act a lot, their family will be suffering. Because they are there eating those money. So that is why you see, when you call police, they refuse not to come immediately and take force immediately. That is the major problem. And moreover, most of the politicians are inside this place. You see all these guys who are doing kidnapping. When you catch most of them, they're able to storm to go to police or go to court. Those people will come up and beg them. That's why you see, if at all they can give them the punishment that fits them, you see all these people will not happen. So this is what I want to say. Thank you. This is Akuk from Abokeche.
Good morning, Nigeria Info. Hello, good morning, Nigeria Info. What's that call as well? Some of the things he said quite interesting. Although when asked whether what would be the fate of the average Nigerian now, if we are pointing out all these reasons why the police are the way they are and why what is happening does that mean that we continue with what we have on ground that is even a worse crime. Well, Nigeria Info, good morning.
Good morning, this is Neandro.
You're welcome.
So, my name is Kingsley, I'm calling you from Television.
Go on.
Yeah, I've actually listened to the man carefully. He picked some very good, important points concerning the time trials of these criminals and all that. It's one of the factors, again, because when you look at it, somebody perpetrated a crime that's supposed to be tried in less than 1 month. You see, it is being suspected until proven being eligible for the crime being committed. And before you know it, things begin to go under the bridge. Before you know it, that guy is out from there. That is number one. Number two, we are talking about the police, not doing their job because as a result of no adequate good care and all that. I want to tell you that the policeman is always the policeman. There are six good police on the road that will do the right thing and let go, even without committing a dime from you. But there are some that are bad. Whether they know whether they're going right, they still want to collect that money because they're paid to collect that money. So for me, I believe that government is part of the problem. They have analyzed it. Government is a part of the problem. Because if government has put the right thing, the right law in place, and we use one or two persons as the deterrent and at the end of the day, things should be done right. And everybody will follow suit. And is it not Nigeria that travel abroad? Why do they keep, are they not keeping the rules and everything over there?
All right, thank you very much. Government partly to blame. Let's take your messages on WhatsApp before we wrap things up. Pastor Nwoke from Igboche, lack of focus. They don't take security very serious. Our police are still backwards in terms of technology. They need to be updated and upgraded. I still encourage community policing and private policing. Better still, we can privatize the police force. Making security expensive, yeah? Please... whether shrines are, I think we're already past that. But it wasn't, the shrine wasn't destroyed because shrines were illegal. It was because of what people, different reports of what was happening in the shrine. That was what happened. It wasn't, that shrine's destroyed even here in a state where there were issues of ritualists taking people or kidnappers taking people to the shrine and then, you know. So it's all an accessory to the crime, I put it that way. Good morning, Andrew. Please, you want me to extend your greeting to the former AIG, Jacob Onorienu. Okay, from all the way in the so-called North local government. You're from the same place. Well, unfortunately, he's not on the line, but I'm pretty sure he will get the message. It's really sad the reunion's the ruling party failed security system doesn't appear wrong for those in the saddle of power since 2015 because they gratefully benefited from it. They do everything possible to defend it to the detriment of the electorates who have been in the living in the mercy of God from kidnappers, bandits, etc. This one says, good morning. Proliferation of small and light weapons is one of the causes of insecurity in Nigeria. Another one is lack of security management by traditional rulers. Our intelligence gathering is nothing to write home about, he says. We are only reactive in Nigeria instead of being proactive to nip crime in the bud. Adams from Aba sent in that message. This one says, insecurity will reduce if we can prioritize our security deployment. Bulk of them are with VIPs, government officials, and others on our roads collecting money. From Ore to Benin, we have 28 checkpoints. Benin to Port Harcourt, 46 checkpoints. All to collect money. What they are employed to do, is that what they're employed to do, or is that what they can do best? Also, the speed of cases, justice in court is slow to the extent that many of these case files might have gotten missing. Joe sent in that one. That's the much on the show this morning. Thank you guys very much for your contributions and for listening. Tomorrow is another day. We'll have another interesting conversation. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew on all platforms on social media. Good morning. Hello, Port Harcourt comes up shortly.